served by the concrete platforms of the graduated steps. They now took the opportunity to rest and recuperate before pressing on. Although it would be easy for them to be spotted from the lower levels, they also had a clear view of any potential enemy themselves. It would be impossible for anyone, except perhaps Jack, to move through the forest below without causing disturbance. The territory beyond the sheer drop was more sparsely vegetated, with the remains of a two-lane blacktop road about 3 miles to the east, with a ruined gas station and diner sitting on it like a toy. Anyone moving on the terrain would be as visible to them as they would be on top of the hill.
So which way you reckon we move, lover?
The one-eyed man stood on the edge of the drop, scanning the horizon.
Guess we go down the rock face. It won't be easy, but it'll be less risky than going down into that forest. What do you say, JB?
The armorer shrugged.
I don't reckon either of them. But seeing as we can't go back either, I guess there isn't much choice.
Better danger seen than not seen.
I take your point, gentlemen, but do you think all of us are up to it right now?
Madam, I shall endeavor, as always, to do my best. I can ask no more, nor no less, of myself.
Relax, you old coot. I wasn't particularly thinking of you. I'm not too sure about myself at the moment, and even more so about Dean.
I'll be fine. You can save your worry.
Don't be a fool, boy. Mildred's right to a degree. You've been unconscious and haven't had a chance to recover. If you're concussed, then it could be a tricky descent.
I'll be fine, Dad. What are we going to do, wait here forever? Because I've had a sore head, or Jack needs a bandage on a grazed knee, or...
That's enough. If you stumble, we all do, remember?
Dean stood and stared for a moment, biting his tongue. Then his temper subsided, and he had to agree.
Yeah, you're right. But I'll be okay. I just won't be stoop about it.
Doc broke the awkwardness by changing the subject. He knew the cloud cover would prevent JB from taking a reading with his mini-sextant.
Just as a matter of interest, where would you say we were? I mean, in general geographic terms.
Ryan indicated the slope to their rear.
My guess is to the north, probably more eastern than central, judging by that forest.
I would have thought so, too. I wonder if that means the Illuminated Ones had their bases within more than just Mattran's distance to the so-called Erahuam.
Ryan pondered on that for a few moments.
You mean like within a fairly easy wag distance, in case they needed to do it over the surface? If the Mattrans failed and they were surface safe?
Doc nodded.
It's a thought, is it not? After all, it would fit with what little we know from the journal, and also from the surrounding area.
Then we try and head north along that old road when we reach it. Head for the building first, see if there's anything there to salvage.
Sounds good to me. Just got to get down there first.
As JB spoke, he looked up to the sky. The dark, purple-tinged chem clouds overhead began to discharge a fine spray of rain that began to soak through.
Great. That's all we need.
Feels fresh after all that dust.
They all spent a few moments absorbing the rain, resting up with their thoughts before they began the descent. It was Doc who first noticed it. After scratching absently at an itch on his cheek, he rubbed the tips of his fingers together with a bemused expression. Ryan's sharp eye caught Doc's gesture.
What is it?
I think it may be time for us to move. My dear Dr. Wyeth, would you mind rubbing your fingers together?
What?
Mildred gave Doc a puzzled stare. Then, seeing the seriousness of his expression, she rubbed the index and middle fingers of her left hand together. The texture of the skin on her fingertips was softened, almost soapy. As she rubbed, the skin peeled painlessly away. She felt her face, where the rain was gently falling. There was the same soapy texture.
A mild acidic solution, if I surmise correctly.
We need to get going. It's a way to that roadhouse, and we need the shelter. Too much of this rain, and it'll peel our skins off.
Ryan nodded, tentatively fingering his own face.
Let we go now.
The descent down the sheer drop would be difficult for all of them. They had no equipment with which to facilitate the climb, and it would mean going down with nothing to link them together other than a thin nylon rope. Looking over the edge, Doc raised an eyebrow.
Well, at least it begins an incline after about 30 feet, so that will be the worst over with.
Oh, that makes me feel a whole lot better.
Linking themselves together with the rope, they began the descent. Jack went first, as he had an instinctive talent for the climb, and would hunt out the best hand and footholds he could find for the others. JB and Mildred followed him. Christy came next, with Dean following. In both pairings, the former was to keep a close watch on the latter, in case their weakness following the landslide experience affected their ability during the descent. And for this reason, Ryan left Doc to bring up the rear, covering the older man. So if Doc stumbled and lost his footing, then Ryan would be able to take the strain. The descent began well. Jack found that the surface of the hill, although straight down, was pitted with enough outcrops to provide ample foot and handholds. He crawled down the surface with ease, his hands and feet probing the surface with the largest pieces of jutting rock. Following in his wake, J.B. found the descent easier than he had feared. Mildred and Christy had been wary for different reasons. Mildred was worried that her weariness would take a toll, and Christy had thought about doing the climb without her boots, concerned that they were far from suitable for such a climb. Jack's choice of footholds took that into account, however. Dean followed behind Christy with barely a sign that he was exhausted. He marshaled his concentration in a single-minded display worthy of the Carter name. The one-eyed warrior noted this in his son as he followed on after, but suppressed his pride to concentrate on Doc. The old man was finding the climb difficult, and the light rain seemed to be more irritating to him than to the others. He was far more tentative in feeling for the hand and footholds, and a couple of times Ryan had felt the nylon rope tighten, as Doc had either moved away and pulled on it, or else had stumbled and almost fallen, his weight straining against Ryan.
"Everything okay, Doc?"
Doc replied with difficulty, his breath coming short and his tone distracted.
"I shall get by, my dear Ryan, but I'm not saying it'll be easy."
The rock face was bare of vegetation except for a few small patches of moss and one or two scrub trees that grew at awkward angles from fissures in the rock. One of these scrub trees was covered in sparse green foliage and appeared to house a nest of some kind. Always wary of the possibility of muty birds, Jack had steered a path away from it, a path followed by the others in their descent. But not Doc. As he passed within a few feet of the scrub tree, Doc felt his foot slip on the small protrusion he rested it upon. It was his second such stumble in just a couple of moves, and he panicked momentarily. Flailing backward, his weight pulling against Ryan, he fell to his left. The nearest handhold was the scrub tree, and Doc grabbed for it gratefully. Below him, Ryan was glad for the strength of the wire-thin nylon rope as he felt it strain along its short length as Doc teetered above him. He wasn't so pleased as he looked at the scrub tree.
Good heavens!
Doc steadied himself, his feet finding solid purchase beneath him, his balance regained. For the tree bent under his grip to reveal a bird's nest in the center. And in the nest were four jet-black chicks of a young age, their mouths open automatically for food at the movement of their nest. Their voices broke the quiet of the air with harsh, strident cries that belied their small size. He peered over them, momentarily enchanted and forgetting his precarious position. As one, they snapped at his face, panic and fear of attack overtaking their desire to feed. The loud cries were echoed by a deeper, much more strident call. Doc looked up, and the only impression he received was of a black shape swooping down on him at great speed. He barely had time to raise an arm to protect himself before the bird was upon him, screeching loudly and pecking at him with a beak as hard as the rocks to which Doc clung. Doc hugged in close to the rocks, his face contorted in a rictus of pain, as the flesh of his hand, clinging to the scrub, was ripped and torn by the slashing cross of the bird's beak. The stench of its body and the shiny black glare of its feathers filling his vision, as the rhythmic beating of its wings and the hideous screech of its anger filled his ears.
Fire blast! Move away from the bastard, Doc!
Ryan drew the Sig Sauer from its holster and tried to aim at the bird. It was mutated somewhere along its lineage from hawk, but the beak had developed into a honed, knife-edged, slashing machine. Its dark eyes gleamed dull hatred as it bobbed and weaved around Doc, hovering close to him, its 10-foot wingspan obscuring the man's huddled form. Ryan bobbed and weaved like the bird, trying to line up a shot that wouldn't risk hitting Doc, but it was proving impossible. Below the one-eyed warrior, Dean, Christy, and Mildred had all drawn their blasters. All were good target pistols, but the bird was saving itself by the sheer ferocity of its attack, staying too close to its prey for them to risk loosing a shot without hitting Doc. At the bottom of the rope, J.B. and Jack exchanged a hurried glance.
Too close for a shot!
Jack nodded his understanding and was already scrambling up the rock face, the rope pulling tight against J.B. as the albino passed him. From the patched and ragged camo jacket, Jack palmed one of the lethal and razor-sharp leaf-bladed knives with which he was so deadly. taking aim. He let fly with a throw that propelled the knife straight and true for the flapping creature's vital organs. Jack was astonished to see the knife hit the Black Hawk's feathers and bounce harmlessly away. The bird didn't even seem to notice the knife's impact.